This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Where next after marriage equality? We've been hearing a lot during the past 6 months since the yes vote was announced at the Marriage Law Postal Survey. Sure, the outcome was successful and the battle was hard fought, but it only began to tackle the varied inequalities faced by our LGBTIQ population. Earlier this month, at a panel hosted by the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University, experts in law, public health and policy presented their ideas on the impact of marriage equality on the LGBTIQ populations, outlining what they see as the challenges that still lie ahead. Now on The Informer, we hear from panellists Bobak Sayed, Adam Bourne and Brenda Appleton. How do you think we're doing 6 months on?
For the national result, yes responses, 7,817.
Thank you for standing up for fairness, for equality, for gay and lesbian Australians, the LGBTIQ community everywhere, for our families.
I think I'm going to start with a little anecdote about marriage equality. And on the day that I found out, you know, November 15th, as Justice Michael Kirby indicated earlier, I called my mother, who lives in the States, and I was, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek. I said, "Mother, now that we know, we have," in Farsi, obviously, so the translation doesn't map on exactly, but you get the gist. "Mother, now we have marriage equality in Australia. Will you find me a doting Afghan husband?" And lovely, devout Muslim that she is, she shuddered all the way, thousands of miles away, and that really provides a portal into the points that I'd like to raise today, because I come from a school of queerness that is non-normative, anti-assimilationist, pro-race. It is decolonial. It is radical. And from my community, marriage equality was a bit farcical, really, because we noticed that throughout the process, there were voices left behind. During the postal vote, there were voices targeted, queer Muslims in Lakemba, as the Honourable Justice indicated, as being part of the two electorates that voted in majority no. And even in the aftermath, in whose voices were championed and heralded as being pivotal in the victory.
Let's remember the very high levels of mental ill health experienced by so many trans and gender diverse people. In that study that Brenda mentioned, 80% of people had self-harmed. That's 4 in every 5 young trans and gender diverse young people in Australia, in a very large sample, had self-harmed, and nearly 50% had attempted suicide. Those figures are truly shocking, and we need to be reminded of them again and again.
Growing up in a binary world, it's difficult. Fortunately, we're not all the same, and I just wish extremists would recognise that differences occur naturally and should not be seen as a threat. You do not choose to be trans or gender diverse. It's just too hard. Things are so much better today than they were 15, 20 years ago. But clearly, they're not meeting the needs of this community. Marriage equality hasn't improved that. Do those that deny people can be trans and gender diverse really think we choose to be different? Would we put ourselves through this hardship on a whim? Of course not. The trans and gender diverse community needs help to avoid being the political football, the easy target in the lead up to the state and federal elections. Let's not add to the vulnerability of my community. The Marriage Equality Survey helped bring the LGBTI communities together in a better way than we'd experienced previously. I think we also learnt the power of engaging allies. I'm hopeful that LGBTI communities can build stronger partnerships and help each other in more constructive and supportive ways than we have seen previously. We need to better understand the issues each group faces and impacts of intersectionality. We're all members of lots of different communities and not defined by being LGBTI. Working together, we can be stronger and continue our campaign for social justice and equity for all. I'm sure the Pride Centre in Melbourne will play a huge role in helping to bring our communities together. Let's truly embrace and celebrate difference and diversity and not just pay lip service to it.
That was Bobuk Syed, Adam Bourne and Brenda Appleton speaking at the panel hosted by the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University. You can download the full talks from these panellists at the event, as well as the Honourable Michael Kirby and Lee Carney from the Human Rights Law Centre via the Informer podcast page at the Joy website, or find them at the Informer social media.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.